Lines more than an hour long, reports of fistfights at gas stations. Frustration is mounting for many drivers in the southeast. More than 2 weeks after the double wallop of Hurricanes Ike and Gustav, many in the Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama still face gas shortages that they were told would be only temporary. Refineries were forced to cut production after storms pounded the Gulf Coast. Things got worse when some people began stockpiling gas. More fuel flowed into some areas over the past couple of days, but many drivers continue to sit in long lines and pay a premium at the pump. If you're in the southeast, what's happening at the gas stations where you live? Are stations closed or reopening? Do you still see long lines? 800-989-8255. Drop us an email. That address is talk@npr.org. You can also weigh in on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now from his office is Patrick Johnson, Atlanta Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor. Nice to have you on the broadcast.
Hi, Neil.
And I understand when you had to get lunch today there in Atlanta, you passed five gas stations that were closed.
Yeah, there's still not much gas here, to be honest with you. We keep hearing that supplies are going to be running up and we've got tankers coming in, but there's been no change, really, in the last, I'd say, 10 days. And a lot of the people I talk to who are outside government are pretty skeptical of promises of quick relief. They say at least two more weeks of basically, you know, changing your life around and trying to plan on, you know, what you're going to do if you can't find gas on your way to the store or wherever you're going.
Well, our memory spans are short, but it does seems a lifetime ago that Ike hit at the Texas coast.
Yeah, but it hit at a bad time. Refineries were already ramping down summer fuel production. Of course, Gustav had hit, so they had shut down for that, and then Ike came very quickly behind that and hit, of course, Houston. It shut down 15, I think there's about 56 major refineries in the area, but shut 15 down. So supplies were already at a pretty, not a historic low, but supplies were, I think, they hadn't been that low since 1967. And then you had these storms, so you had basically very little gasoline coming through the pipelines. And when people started noticing sacks going on the pump handles, they reacted, I don't know, reasonably or not reasonably, but they started topping up and running the pumps, and that's where you saw the long lines and the tensions at the pumps. And of course, that exacerbated the problem. But, you know, as a motorist myself, you have to wonder, you know, you do have to go places, and it's hard to criticize people too much for simply trying to make sure they've got some way to get to work.
Why is this so regionalized? I mean, don't these refineries supply fuel for the much of the country?
Well, yeah, they do. But this area, like Atlanta, Nashville, Charlotte, Asheville and southern, I mean, this is all over, but it's basically two pipelines that come through here, and all the gas comes through here. It's the Colonial and the Plantation pipelines. So the city like Atlanta depends entirely on this pipeline, and there's no backup system. So basically, if there's no gas coming through that pipeline, there's no gas at the pump.
Let's get some callers in on this conversation. Again, our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Our guest again, Patrick Johnson of the Christian Science Monitor. Pete's with us. Pete on the line from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, I think the problem is that you've got, like Colonial Pipelines, like you said, one company that's just too big, and we're depending on it too heavily, kind of like depending on AIG too heavily. And here in Charlotte, there's been lines 3 to 5 hours just this last weekend. I've seen people pumping, I mean, taking a gas can and putting oil, I mean, gasoline into cups for people to get home. So it's just really ridiculous. Then you've got regional events like, you know, the local amusement park has their Halloween thing, the Scarewinds, and, you know, MonsterCon is next week, and different things that are, you know, just real short term. That people are not being able to get to.
Yeah, Patrick Johnson, I assume that there's a lot more effect on businesses than just the MonsterCon that Pete is talking about. For one thing, a lot of people, you know, drive for business.
Absolutely. I know in Asheville, North Carolina, I had a terrible shortage. It's getting a little bit better now, but I know pizza drivers were stranded and landscapers weren't working and a lot of people were working. Telecommuting's become very popular. Light rail here in Atlanta, MARTA, the local transportation authority, has seen rides increased by 1 million in the last 10 days or 2 weeks. So, it's hard to measure the impact, I think, on business and the economy, but it's major, and it's having to people changing their habits. I know there was a technical college in Asheville that closed for a couple of days today. Speaking of Charlotte, I know they have teacher work days. I think they had one yesterday and today, and they're asking teachers or telling teachers they can stay home instead of coming into school and only so no classes canceled there in Charlotte, but certainly it shows the concern.
Pete, what are you doing?
Well, fortunately, I have a very short drive to work, so I'm in good shape. And I had filled up when I went to visit the in-laws in Virginia, so I came in with a full tank. So I blessedly have not had to wait in line.
Well, good for you, Pete.
That they get the gas tanks full soon.
Thanks very much for the call. Good luck. Let's go now to Bill. Bill's with us on the line from Asheville in North Carolina.
Hello.
And, Bill, we're told the situation in Nashville a little bit better.
Well, not necessarily. We got some gas over the weekend, but the reason I was calling was there have been quite a few gas stations over here that have intentionally been gouging the price of their gas. They've been saying that they don't have fuel when they actually do in the tanks.
Really? Why would they not sell gas that they've got in the ground? They're in business to sell gas.
Yes, they are in business to sell gas, but they're also in business to make money. And as long as they say there's not as much gas as there really is, they can keep the price high. In Asheville and in surrounding areas, I've seen gas go for as high as $5 a gallon.
Patrick Johnson, you suspect there's anything to Bill's suspicions?
I don't know, but price gouging certainly is a huge concern. There's been hundreds of complaints filed in Georgia. I'm sure similar things are going on in North Carolina and Tennessee as well. So. And Alabama, too. I know the legislature there is considering a bill that would increase fines for gas stations, I think, to $5,000 if they price gouge during times like this. So that is a huge concern. But the other side of that is when you talk to petroleum executives and people who oversee the system, oftentimes Asheville is a great example, actually, because it's kind of far removed. It's up in the mountains, obviously. It takes money to get those trucks up those hills and to those kind of far-flung places. And if there's a shortage of gas or they've got to try to spread it around, they're likely going to go where they're going to either get the best price or going to get, where there's the most people and where it's the cheapest to get the gas to. So it's definitely a weakness in the distribution system, especially to independent companies. But I think even the Shells and the Chevrons of the world are facing similar decisions. So Asheville definitely struggled a little. You have to wonder if they were able to charge a higher price if the gas would have gotten there. So, and that's something you hear from drivers too, when they basically they're at the pump saying, at this point I'll pay for the gas, and of course other people see it differently, and price gouging is a serious matter, but it's definitely two trains of thought there.
Bill, have you had to wait in line to buy gas?
Yes, actually I have, but a very interesting thing happened to me. My brother-in-law knows a fellow who is a gas station manager, and he told him the thing to do would be go to the gas station when the gas station isn't actually open. As long as you have a station that uses the credit card reader, if you can get to one and the pumps are powered up, you could get gasoline, and that's how I managed to get gas last week. I have to come into work fairly early in the morning, so I came through and there was a gas station that the station was closed, but the pumps were running, so I just pulled up, took the bag off of the pump, put in my ATM card, and I managed to fill my tank right up. Now, even though they said we have no gasoline, I managed to get 12 gallons.
All right. Bill, thanks very much for the call.
Goodbye.
And good luck. Let's see if we can go now to Tom, and Tom's with us on the line from Atlanta.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Well, a lot of people are starting to bike around here and use mass transit, which I guess is good. But it's kind of just one more example of how the government and how a lot of private enterprises are just reactionary to a lot of the problems that happen, and they're not thinking forwards in terms of solving these problems.
Well, he's got a point there, Patrick Johnson. It does suggest that this gasoline delivery system is pretty fragile.
Right, and I think he hit on something else, too. Governor Sonny Perdue has been criticized here in Georgia for not being on top of this, and you heard a lot of government officials saying, well, there's enough gas, kind of blaming people for topping up and saying, you know, kind of panic buying was behind it. But the fact is, you know, people were rightfully indignant and angry about it in some ways, because there did seem to be a real breakdown in the system. This was an event that was seems like it could have been predicted and perhaps, if not prevented, at least ameliorated a little bit. So, I think it's government officials like Sonny Perdue, who, by the way, went to Europe this week, which was another thing that made people mad, I think, because it showed perhaps a lack of understanding or lack of the understanding of the pain at the pump.
Yeah, but you had the same, by the way, Tom, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. But you had the same kind of complaints about lack of foresight when the drought was such a big issue. Of course, there's been a lot of rain last spring, so I assume that's less of an issue now. But this idea that people are not looking forward and anticipating infrastructure problems like the inability to deliver gasoline and the inability to stockpile enough water.
Well, yeah. In fact, I'm writing about that right now. But you see people. I think it's frustrating to people, and it's kind of amazing to see. You know, and some of the callers talked about it. How you kind of have to get ingenious and really your behavior changes. I mean, there's been people kind of like groupies chasing tanker trucks come into the town to see what stations they're going to go to, and people.
You talk about ambulance chasers, tanker chasers.
Yeah, exactly. And I play adult hockey, and that was, you know, we had a game last night. That was all the talk in the locker room, was how whatever schemes guys had to find a gas station and get enough. You know, some people go late at night or go early in the morning, and which strategy is the best. And it's pretty interesting.
Patrick Johnson, thanks very much for your time.
All right, Neil.
Patrick Johnson, Atlanta Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, speaking with us from his office in Atlanta. Here's one last email from Walt in Nashville. We had a similar problem last week here in Nashville as Atlanta is experiencing now. At this point, there is much more gas available than last week. Still, several stations are completely out. Most of those with gas seem to have regular only. Mid-grade and premium are quite scarce. Anyway, thanks to you all for your calls and your emails on that. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.